and welcome to Wish Upon a Star. I'm Andell Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program spotlighting accomplished talents in the arts arena with discussions of the challenges and advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we will interview professional guests, experts in the fields of entertainment, law, copywriting, studio recording, publishing, and promoters, all relative to this highly competitive industry. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is one of a legend in the making, none other than versatile saxophonist Isaac Parham. His bio. Isaac Parham is an energetic, versatile saxophonist, composer, and entertainer who has been performing for over 25 years. He is a native of Baltimore, Maryland, attended the Music Careers Program at Frederick Douglass High School and the Peabody Preparatory of Music, where he was introduced and influenced by the music of Grover Washington Jr., Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, David Sanborn, and countless others in the progression of his career. Over the years, his talents and abilities have afforded him the opportunity to share the stage and work with renowned artists, such artists as Dede Bridgewater, Ramsey Lewis, Ron Carter, Cyrus Chestnut, Dennis Chambers, The Shy Lights, Mesa, Maurette Brown, Clark, John P. Key, Marion Meadows, Kim Waters, and many others. He is a versatile musician who has toured Canada, performing in the show Ain't Misbehaving, and has performed throughout the East Coast, from New York to South Carolina. As a soloist, Isaac has also recorded and appeared as a group member with the David Bach Consort, Tracy Hamlin, Marcel and the Truth, Rodney Kelly Jr., Fahrenheit, Beyond Blue, Four Corners, and the Rolex Band. His musical performances are always memorable to his audiences, and he is noted for his talent, passion, and personality on stage. Isaac attributes all of his success and accomplishments to his belief and faith in God, and has been a member of Morningstar Baptist Church for over 15 years, where he serves on the Praise Ensemble. Isaac, welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you so much. How are you doing today, Andell?
Oh, real good. This is the first time this has really happened, but we're going to work on it for the next time. I'm just in another office. This is why probably he's having a problem. So we're going to get started. And what we're going to get started with is like we always do, right from the beginning. Growing up, what influenced you to choose the saxophone? And at what age did you then take on that challenge of learning this particular instrument?
Okay, well, growing up, I had a lot of music in my household, and we had an album by The Temptations. And at the time when it was playing, now I know that the instrument that was playing was a synthesizer. But at the time, I asked my brother what it was, and he said it was a saxophone. So I believe it was in the song Memories by The Temptations, and I love that sound so much that when I went to junior high at the age, you know, around age 12, when I joined the band, they asked if anyone wanted to play saxophone. I thought of that recording, but later in years, I found out when I listened to it again, it was not a saxophone.
Oh, I see. But that did get flick your interest anyway. That's great.
Yeah, that's
an amazing instrument, we all know. Right, in the formation of orchestras. Who invented the saxophone, and what do you think was his intentions for its use?
Well, the saxophone was invented in the 1800s by Adolph Sax. I think he was just trying to, you know, make something out of a woodwind instrument out of metal. You know, they had like flutes and various things back then, and he got that, and he, I guess he took it and bent it and tried to do something new, and I guess it was new at the time for him, and that's how it was invented.
Oh, great. Made it out of brass instead of the woodwind type thing. The Big Band era also. New Orleans jazz scene, Charlie Parker, Cannonball Adderley, and John Coltrane, they all helped to crystallize and influence the popularity of the jazz beat. Have you always concentrated on jazz, or did you perform other types of music as well?
Oh, starting off in junior high, I did classical music, you know, because I was in the band. And then more so when I got into high school, I started listening to jazz. My first influence at that time was Grover Washington Jr. Because, again, it was what was around the house. And then I learned about Charlie Parker and John Coltrane and others, and I got to study them as well.
Yeah, because they were the big ones. They are. And so they would be great to help you develop that. The elements of that distinctive jazz sound, everybody knows it, you only need a couple of beats, have been woven into scores of many American musicals and popular songs. What are some of the other musical roles you might have participated in besides jazz concerts?
Oh, well, I did a various number of plays, like you mentioned, Ain't Misbehavin'. I did Bubbling Brown Sugar, and just different New Orleans-based, or as they say, Nylon-based plays and stuff that I got the opportunity to play with, and different genres of music that I got a chance to play in. I try to be open to all styles of music and try to study and listen to them so I can be able to represent them well when I'm called to play upon them.
Oh, great. Did you ever have a participation? I think you said when you were in school, marching band or something. What about that experience?
Yes. Long time ago. And I say long time ago because I had the opportunity to play with with the Baltimore Colts. Yeah, and I got a chance to be in the Baltimore Colts marching band, as well as Frederick Douglass High School marching band, where I played in that. In my last year, I was the drum major of the Frederick Douglass marching band. So I got lots of marching band experience doing parades and doing halftime shows and such.
I know that had to be a great experience because I've looked at it on cable when they had the competitions, and I just revel in the magnificence of those players in those marching bands. They're just fantastic, excellent. So that's a great development exercise.
Yes.
As we mentioned in your bio, playing with many of these musical giants, what are some memorable instances that made you just stop and want to pinch yourself from excitement because you couldn't believe this was happening?
One thing I can remember, I had the opportunity to play on stage with Diane Reeves and Ramsey Lewis. And that was, I had a chance to take my mom to that show, you know, because she had been years hearing me play Murray Had a Little Lamb in my early development. So it was great to have her out, you know. It was great to have her out and backstage at an actual performance where she knew it, you know, and she knew the people, and she got the chance to see what happens backstage. And then one time I got to perform, and I really, when I got the call, I didn't really picture the name, but I got a chance to play with the Shy Lights. and I really couldn't remember who they were until we got to the rehearsal, and they started playing their songs and stuff, and I was like, I know these songs, you know, and it just brought back, you know, it was just a great experience, to see the inner workings and play that. Also had a chance to play with the Soul Circus when they came to town, Universal Soul Circus. And that was also a great experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, so, I mean...
And like I said, yeah, those kinds of things, yeah. Say again?
Yeah, I was saying most experience, you know, they're memorable in what you do and how you try to play to the public, you know. You may affect someone in a certain way, and they may come up and say to you, you know, what they got out of your performance, and that, in a lot of terms, become real memorable for you as well.
Great. Excellent, because the audience is the most important factor that shows you that you're really doing well. Playing in events such as Saxophile, which I heard that was just a great presentation, with your fellow saxophonists, Art Sherrod, Tony Exum Jr., and Brian Lanier, what valuable lessons can be learned from the relationships and playing with other musicians?
Oh, it's all about relationships, and, you know, you get a chance to gel with other guys and see what they do, how they prepare themselves to come on stage, and different things that they do to relate to the audience and stuff. You get to take notes as well as, you know, become a good friend. Archerod, I consider him a real good friend, and we've done other things, you know, together. And you just get a chance to catch up on things. If you don't know something, they may know something, or they may know something that you don't know, you know, and people may use different saxophone vendors and different stuff, you know, or something new may be available that you don't know of. So you get the opportunity to really catch up and really, you know, just have some time, one-on-one time with those persons, you know, and kind of bond together and make relationships.
Absolutely. Excellent. We stand back and we look at artists and entertainers and think that is the most glorious life, because you meet all kinds of people, interesting people. Is it always life, action, and good time performing, as well as some of the things that have to do with contracts and that sort of thing? What are some of the ins and outs of that aspect of your entertainment career?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I do contracts because I want to be clear. At the end of the day, you want the whatever event you're doing to be a memorable event. So, again, I base that on relationships. Whoever I play for, I want to have a good relationship for. I want to meet their expectations. I want them to meet my expectations. So, then, henceforth, the contract come into play. So you can just get that out of the way, and that won't get in the way of the music. So you can say, you know, this is what I expect from you, and this is what I expect to get, you know. And once you cover that, you can make a real memorable performance, because that's all you have, you know, to concentrate on, you know, and not worry about other things that may hinder your performance. So I do contracts. For most of the time I play, and just for clarification, you know, so we're both on the same page and we're on one accord, and there's no mishaps or misunderstanding.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good advice, wouldn't it be, for everybody? To make sure that all that is clear before you actually go on stage or perform. So
yes,
that's a very good point and advice. What we're going to do right now, Isaac, we're going to take a little break, about 10 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Right. Let's get loose.
District.
Yeah.
That thing.
What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Hey.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me.
Not me.
Got a pocket full of fresh dough.
Dough, baby.
So you know I got a bacon, homie.
Bacon for me.
And I'm thankful. Ooh. Get whatever you want, it's on me.
It's on me.
New songs on the radio.
Welcome back. This is Andell Banks, host of Wish Upon a Star. And thanks so much for joining us. I have a message for you. Have you heard of Motor Club of America? Motor Club of America is a wonderful benefit package that offers $50,000 accidental death coverage, $150 daily hospital benefits, discount on prescription, vision, and dental, $1,000 credit card protection, $5,000 stolen vehicle reward, and much, much more benefits. All of these just for $19.95. If you're interested in taking advantage of these benefits, please visit www.mymcpro.com/Denise Banks, or you can just call 443-889-9422. That's Motor Club of America. We're going to return with our honored guest today, Isaac Parham, versatile saxophonist. Isaac, many musicians in the past became known without the knowledge of knowing how to read music. In today's musical arena, what is your position? Should musicians know how to read music?
I think it's real beneficial if you know how to read music. Like I said, a lot of the plays I did in the past, you know, you have to be able to read music. And I think I know in a lot of arenas, people don't read music, but now with today's technology, you can put so much sheet music on an iPad. And if you're playing, as far as I'm concerned, with different groups and stuff, and you're using sheet music, it frees up your memory because it's right there. You don't have to remember a whole show for one day and then play with another artist the next day and have to remember that show. If you have your charts and your sheet music, you can just open it up. And again, technology allow us to put it on our iPads now. And they got all kinds of apps for transcriptions where in the past musicians would carry around fake books and different books and like cases of music. You can just all put it on the iPad and it just simplifies everything. So that's one of the advantages of reading music. You know, another thing is using the iPad now, you can learn how to read music. So I think it's very beneficial. I think it's very helpful. And this is just my opinion because I can go from one show to the next and I can simply pull the music up on my iPad. And although I'm familiar with the music, it would allow me to be able to play it, you know, note for note.
Excellent. I think I've seen a lot of bands and groups doing that now. Not necessarily the iPad, but they have the sheet music with them, just like you would do in a big symphony orchestra. And it, I guess it does, like you said, makes them even play more, much better. You might have already answered this question I'm getting ready to ask in that question, but what are some of the most important elements of playing a saxophone? Or any musical instrument, for that matter, that could greatly affect a performance or even a career?
Well, as far as the saxophone, it's different pieces of the saxophone that may affect your performance, as well as with any musical instrument. With the saxophone, we first got to start with the reed, which is made, most of the time it's made with
cane.
They have synthetic reeds. But if your reed is broken or chipped or whatever, you're going to have a problem playing. Also, the mouthpiece. of the saxophone. If, you know, if you chip that or drop it or break it in any way, that will affect your tone and your sound also, and it may not allow you to play. Any part of the body saxophone, sometimes when you play it, it falls off a stand. Sometimes you may bend the key or something, and that will also affect how you play. So it's real crucial when you pick a saxophone stand, where do you put it at, and have it out of the way. I done seen people fall and smash saxophones. I've seen people drop the mouthpiece and were unable to play, and I've seen people chip a reed. So it's just taking care of those things and making sure you're like in a safe zone where nothing can really happen to your horn. And that's pretty much with all, you know, instruments, because if they take a fall or stuff, sometimes, you know, just one good whack will knock them out of whack. So it's just positioning and where would you put your instrument and that makes sense.
Absolutely. Like you said, with your instrument and with any instrument, you have to protect it. That's very good advice, too. That's another good point that you have made. That's a very good point. Because some people probably may not even think about that, even if it's in a case. Is that correct?
Yeah, even if it's
even
in a case.
Even if it's in a case, it can still get damaged.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. A musician put out this morning on Facebook how he was on a plane, and this particular airline did not let him put his instrument on the overhead, you know, storage area. So he had to put it with the other, and it damaged his instrument. So if you don't have a case or you don't have the right carrying apparatus to carry your instrument, or if they don't let you put it in the overhead, you have to watch that as well, because it can easily get damaged.
Oh, absolutely. Like I told you, as a jazz DJ, I had an amplifier. Some of the transistors was gone by the time I got to where I was going, because it, you know, it just rattled too much in the car because it wasn't in a proper case.
Right.
Very good. Improvisation in a jazz group is something that our listeners may understand to a certain degree, of course. But soloing by a saxophonist, is that a constant appearance of a saxophone player, but only can be accomplished by a master player such as yourself?
Oh, well, thank you so much. But I think as far as playing out improvisation, what I have a tendency to play from my heart and what I feel and what I hear. And when you put it all together, that's when the music begins and the music comes out. A lot of times when I play, it's already in my mind and in my head. So it's different factors that, you know, affect that. You may play differently in a gospel setting than you play out at a jazz setting, but it all comes from you internally. And I found that out in later years of my playing. And it's just based on, again, on relationships and stuff and what you want to portray to your audience. It's like a connection with you and your audience, with you and your other performers. And I try to make it a connection and try to make it a memorable connection that when people hear it, they say, okay, I really like that. That was something different than I'm used to hearing. He wasn't just playing technique up and down. We could feel what he was playing, you know. And again, with your audience, I have people come up to me and say that, you know, and it means a lot to me that something I played touched them in a way that it would stay with them for a while after the performance.
Absolutely. And if anybody, I could testify to that, wants to actually hear, based on that statement, they can go to YouTube, look up Isaac Farhan, Grown and Sexy. That particular I'm telling you, it is fantastic. And when you walk off to the left and to the right, and you're out of saxophone player, say, hey, man, where you going? And you were just going. So anybody who wants to hear you play and testify to your personality, your versatility, your captureness of the audience, go to YouTube, Grow and Sexy, and you will be absolutely, I would say, astonished at such graciousness of playing a saxophone at the Thesaurus. Thank you very much for that, Isaac. You have become a great saxophonist by sheer, I know, hard work and attention to the development of your skills. How do you feel about what you have chosen as a profession, what you have accomplished, and how has that affected your life?
Well, thank you again. I got to look at that clip from Growing Sassy. And I think my plan is an extension of my life, what I've been through and what I'm going through at the time and stuff, because I tell a lot of people mm-hmm. the way I play now, I couldn't play before when I was young if I didn't go through what I went through. And it's about passion.
Absolutely.
I have a passion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a passion for it, and it's something that brings joy to my life that I like to do, and I like to share it with others. And it's funny, again, in this age of technology, even the clip that you say, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't expect stuff to be out there or people to capture the moment. But now with cell phones and all that, people catch the moment. And by the time you get home from the moment, it done went, you know, it's on the internet. So
viral, just, as they say.
Yeah. And it's just something to try to keep mindful of because, you know, I've been played a lot of places, you know. And early on, I wouldn't think of it. And then the next day, you know, somebody said, hey, I caught you playing here and there, you know. So it opens up your market and it
mm-hmm.
lets you know that although you're in a spot with these people, most likely they're not the only ones that's going to see this performance because they're capturing it on their phones and they're loading it up and it's going worldwide. I had a video on YouTube and somebody asked a question. And I just answered the question, and they were shocked that I answered the question. And then I looked and saw that they were from Spain, you know, and they complimented me, and it made me just say, wow, this is, you know, that this video went all the way to Spain and had this person comment on it. You know, it just kind of blew me away.
Right, because they might ask you to... And they probably will ask you to join the jazz festival in Paris at Montreux, you know, like all the rest of them have. So that video may even go that far. And they may, you know, invite you to Paris to play in the next jazz festival they have over there, like they did with some of the other jazz performers. So don't be shocked
yes.
if it happens.
Well, I'm looking forward to it if it happens, and I hope they have that kind of affluence to make it happen.
Right. We're going to take another little break so we can get a drink of water, and we'll be back in 12 seconds. Thanks so much. This is Andale Banks of Wish Upon a Star. We are broadcasting on bbsradio.com, station 2. You can listen to any of our previous broadcasts in our archive link, www.bbs.com. radio.com to Station 2. We also welcome comments and suggestions. You can send those to us at our email address at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, comments and suggestions at email address musicradio34@gmail.com. We're returning back to our honored guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Isaac Parham, versatile saxophonist. Well, we left off, Isaac, we were talking about performing and how people have technology now where it can go just about anywhere. In that general vein, there are several types of saxophones as well. We have alto, soprano, baritone. How do they differ in reference to tone and sound? As us laymen, we wouldn't even know that. And are they all solely associated with jazz musicians?
No, saxophones are worldwide. You know, they're used in all kinds of music and classical as well as jazz. And how I explain it to people when they ask me about the different ranges of the soprano, alto, and tenor saxophone, I say it's like a person singing. You know, the late, great Whitney Houston, you know, she was a soprano, so the soprano sax is pitch is sort of high like that. Then the alto pitch, sort of like Anita Baker, you know, her voice comes down and it's a pitch like that, you know. And then the tenor saxophone is sort of like your male singer, you know, who has a pitch like that. So the pitches are kind of different, you know, they're comparable, real comparable to what you hear singing, you know. All the way from the soprano to the baritone, you know. So I would say going from Whitney Houston to Lou Rawls or something like that. And, you know, a lot of times you can mimic a singing voice, you know, whatever, with the horn that you choose to play, you know, and the song that you choose to play.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I've heard you play, and the range you extend is phenomenal. Now, in musical terms, because some of us know a little bit about music, we know what a C is, a key, and a B flat, and, you know. So what are the ranges of the various types of saxophones that, let's say you play, because you play a saxophone, a soprano saxophone?
Yes, I play the soprano, the alto, and the tenor. And the ranges are very, you know. You know, you can get, you know, great rank. I do well, but I'm always trying to get better. You know, there are like some players who do a 4-octave range on the saxophone and can just sing with it and make it, you know, do the full range of it. So that's what I'm working on and trying to get better every day, just, you know, improving and stuff and just hoping people like what they hear.
Oh, absolutely. The saxophone, Isaac, really appears to be a complicated instrument to master. Can you give us a rundown on the basic, you know, the construction of the instrument and how it is played? Because all those little hoogie-boogies, you know, how do you play it? Starting from the reed, you told us about the reed, how that has to be almost in perfection. Now, what about the rest of it?
Okay, you have the reed, and you have the ligature, which holds the reed to the mouthpiece. The mouthpiece is then connected to the neck of the horn, and the neck of the horn is connected to the body of the horn. And the hoobity-boobities, or whatever you call them, they're the keys. And keys are over the tone hole.
Oh.
And like, the saxophone is similar to the clarinet. Clarinet normally has open holes, where the saxophone has keys in which cover the holes. Both of them are of the woodwind family,
okay.
And both of them are real similar. So, but the saxophone is made out of brass and different materials, you know, and that's how basically you play it. by covering the keys, you know, which gives you different tones. So it's just like once you start doing it and once you become addicted to it and playing it more and more, that's where your proficiency comes, and you start to get your own sound and stuff. So it's something, like I said, I really enjoy.
It looks like, oh yeah, you're a master.
Oh,
but it looks like it was made to be played with the left hand. Is that correct?
Well, you play with both hands. Your left hand is on the top keys, and your right hand is on the bottom keys. So it's a two-handed instrument, and you can play, you know, notes with both hands.
Great. We mentioned in your bio all the people that you've played with, and do some of the jazz artists say, like you told us about Charlie Parker, how you started out with, you know, liking and hearing this music. But what are some of the other noted ones that have come along now that also are an influence in your career development?
Like I said, Kim Waters, he's a good friend. You know, when I see him, if I have questions or anything, I ask him, and we just play off each other. Cyrus Chestnut is a another friend, as well as Dennis Chambers. And you're constantly meeting people, you know, when you play out and you play in this environment. On my webpage at isaacparham.com, I have various pictures of different people that I met at different performances and all. And you get the opportunity when you play out. You know, I think I have a picture of the former governor on there when I played something with him, and I have a picture with the mayor when I played with her. I have a picture with Tommy from Martin when I played an engagement with him. So it's different people, you know. It's and again, I base it all on relationships. You know, you if you have a good attitude, you know, and you're open-minded, you know, you get to places where you can meet different people. I remember I played in D.C.
Right.
And someone came up to me and complimented me on my playing. And then when I looked at the gentleman, I realized it was Chuck D from Public Enemy. And I have been a fan of his forever. And he is going to compliment me. You know, compliment me on my playing. So it really meant a lot to me. You know, we took a picture together. But, yeah, it's just full circle. It's just, you know, being open, you know, when you perform and people can see your openness and they can see your sincereness, they see your passion, and a lot of times they approach you about that.
Oh, absolutely, and I can see why. Now, just between me and you, did the mayor actually say, what was she doing? I saw that picture. Was she singing? What was
just
she doing?
Between me and you. if you look closely at the picture, you see she doesn't have a microphone in her hand.
Right.
And that's just like,
hey, what's going on here?
She was having fun.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
Okay. You're known as a versatile saxophone player. And I mean, versatile, we know what the word versatile means. But in musical genre, what does that area of presentation encompass in this entertainment arena? Is it always like action, front and center?
No, I think it's more like when people want to call you for certain something, and again, like I said, when someone has expectations for someone, you just try to meet their expectations for the performance. So if someone says, I'm looking for a saxophone player who can do this and who can do that and who can do this and who can do that, and at the end of the day make the audience happy, I try to fill those expectations and try not to put myself in a box saying, no, I'm only going to play this type of music, or no, I only play that type of music, and if you're not doing that, don't call me. So I try to be open-minded and try to play, you know, all kinds of music, and hopefully I'm doing them justice. So people will say, well, let's call Isaac because he can play this, that, and the other. So that's what it's meaning by the versatile saxophonist, you know. And there's a lot of versatile saxophonists out there, so I just try to, you know, be in the number. What comes to mind is Gerald Albright. You know, he plays all different types of styles of music, you know, well. So
I have a couple of his albums.
He's someone who I pattern myself after.
So they call that crossover, more or less. A little more, crossover.
Yeah, crossover. You know, he plays mainstream jazz. He plays contemporary jazz. You know, and like I say, he does a good job with all of them. You know. Kirk Whalum, you know, he's also like that. He does the gospel.
Oh, yeah, got him too. Oh, love him.
Yeah, I see. You know,
and like you said, in this arena, you would have to.
And that's what I asked Kirk Whalum about that before, and he told me, you know, just play. You know, just play where God leads you. You know, and just play. That's what I try to do.
Okay, we're going to take another little short break, and when we come back, we're going to ask you where we can get some information about you and what some people might do to even try to get to a level like you are. We'll be back in 15 seconds. Welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. And we're recording from CBSRadio.com Station 2. You can listen to all of our previous broadcasts in the archive link. We welcome comments and suggestions via email at musicradio34@gmail.com. We're returning back to our guest, the renowned and almost legendary versatile saxophone player, Isaac Farhad. Isaac, there may be some people in the audience that might want to actually learn how to play the sax. Which type would you recommend for a beginner and the main process in how to become a great saxophonist as yourself?
Between the soprano and the tenor, it's like... because it's not as big as the tenor, and it's what's played more so in concert bands, you know, in school or maybe community bands. I would get that, and I would, you know, practice long tones and such. There are books available for learning saxophone. One book is called A Tune a Day. And that's something you can probably get on Amazon. I know they have a sale today that they've been doing. But you can get that book.
Okay.
And that's a book. I would recommend any book that may come with a DVD. That way you can place the DVD on and you can see exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And, again, I would use the technology of today. Technology is... so outstanding today that a lot of people are just getting a saxophone and even going on YouTube, and you can find lessons or different things, or you can just get a private instructor, and you should be able to learn something, you know, within the first lesson or two lessons. I look at it, there's just like exercising. If you put the time into it daily, then you will get out of it a great deal. Even if you're starting with as little as 5 minutes daily, just learning how to blow through the mouthpiece, you know, put the reed on and stuff. If you do a little bit daily at the end of the week, you would have accomplished something, and you'll be playing before you know it.
Absolutely. Like I said, I love jazz, and I try to get to as many jazz concerts and gigs as I possibly can. And of all the ones I've been to, I've only so far seen one female play a saxophone. Can you enlighten me and say I'm wrong about that, or do you, or is that still an area where the female hasn't really jumped into it as heavy as other parts or the other instruments?
I'm not sure. I know several females that play saxophone, and I know several females that play saxophone well. So I guess it's just a preference. A lot of times, transition from clarinet to saxophone, I think it's easier than transitioning from a saxophone to a clarinet. So there's a lot of young ladies out there who play it and play it well. Corinthia Cromwell in the Baltimore area, she does a great job. Me and her went to school together, you know, and she was playing clarinet in school. So when I seen the later years after school, you know, and she was playing sax, I was thoroughly impressed, you know. And she has several albums out, you know, I love
okay.
that. Again, her name is Corinthia Cromwell. I think that's her website as well. And Sharon Thomas in the Virginia area, Jeanette Harris. It's a lot of them out there. Pam Williams, I had the opportunity to do a show with her. She's an awesome saxophonist. So a lot of them call themselves saxtress. But they are out there,
okay.
and you can find information on them.
Right. Now, then they mostly play within a band, so you probably would only identify them if you know that the band has a female. Is that how it normally works?
No, most of them are solo artists. So, you know, you can really find out about it. If you Google Corinthia Cromwell, her information will come up. And again, as well
okay.
as Sharon Thomas. Her information will come up.
Jeanette Harris and Pam Williams.
Right. Yeah, Pam Williams. Yeah, Pam Williams has been doing it in national level for 20, 25, 30 years. So you can definitely get information.
Wow.
From her.
Well, I certainly will, because like I said, when I do my gigs, I like to play upcoming and, you know, versatile, like you do, versatile music as well as, you know, your standards that everybody knows. Because I love for people to say, well, who's that? You know? So thank you for that information as well. What I'm going to say right now, Isaac, from the bottom of my heart, we at Wish Upon a Star want to thank you with our sincerest thanks for being on the show. Please give us some information where a person want to ask you some questions or find out where you're going to be playing, or any information, contact that you want to give out. Please do that now.
Okay, you can look me up at isaacparham.com. That is isaacparham.com. Or you can, again with the technology, you can find me on Facebook at Isaac Parham. Or you can. I also have a fan page on Facebook, and I guess I'll be updating my Twitter and Instagram page. So you can just do a search on Isaac Parham, and you find me. And also, there's videos being posted on YouTube. Some of them I know about, some of them I don't. But you can also catch me on YouTube. But please hit me up on isaacparham.com or email is isaac.parham@gmail.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isaac. It's been absolutely fantastic. We're going to come back and sign off. And again, Isaac, thank you and enjoy your week. We'll be back.
Monday morning, getting back on my grind. What a weekend. Funny how time can...
This is Arendelle Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star, saying thank you so much for listening. We're broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, station 2. Please listen to our previous broadcast and the archives link, and send us any comments or suggestions about the program at our email address, musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, this is Andel, your host, and Denise Banks, your coordinator, saying, keep reaching for the stars. God bless you all.
Monday morning, getting back on my grind. What a weekend. Funny how time.